reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first reading is from the book of Exodus, found on page 76 in your pew Bibles. And we read Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord has said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1143 in your pew Bibles. And we read John 7, verses 28 through 39. So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from. But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go, that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me and you will not find me,' and 'Where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his water will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. O Lord, have mercy on us. My text for this evening is from John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and a drink." This is our text. Tonight, my intent with you is to paint some pictures that as you're reading through the Gospel of John, you might come to see some things that perhaps you haven't seen before as we see how Jesus becomes the ultimate sacrifice. And the beginning point for this evening is a discussion of water and what it meant to the people of Israel. Water had an important place in the rites of Israel. For instance, in the original tabernacle, as you entered into the tabernacle gates, the first thing that you encountered was a large pool of water. And before a priest would do anything, he would first wash himself in that pool. It's partly out of this that the ancient practice of churches was that when they were constructed, at least for much of history, the baptismal font, which we have located here in front of the altar, was actually placed way back there as you entered into the church. Entering into God's presence only occurs as you pass through the waters. There's some other interesting things about water in the history of Israel. That account which we read as our Old Testament lesson, the water that came out of the rock as Moses struck it, an event which actually occurred on two different occasions during the wanderings in the wilderness. Although Scripture itself doesn't state this, by the time of Jesus, a legend had grown up about that water. That it was actually a traveling spring of water. It was the same water. And again, this is legend, this is not from Scripture, but this is how the Jews thought at the time of Jesus. It was the same water from which Jacob drank when he first met his wife, Rebecca, that well that she was drawing water out of. In other words, it sort of became, if you will, a traveling well. And all the wells that you read about in Scripture, from Jacob's well to one that Abraham dug, to the water that came from the rock on two different occasions at two different places, it was all the same water, if you will, a traveling spring. Again, that's not from Scripture, but if you read ancient Jewish literature, that's what they believed around the time of Jesus. If you will, a traveling rock that followed the Jews. And Scripture, at least on one occasion, makes reference to the legend. In 1 Corinthians 10, which was our epistle lesson this last Sunday, and is the basis of one of the hymns we sang, "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me." Paul says that rock, that traveling rock from which waters came abundantly, was actually Christ himself. And so it's not by accident, as you're reading through the Gospel of John, when Jesus goes to Jacob's well in Samaria and meets a Samaritan woman. He talks to her, who was kind of reluctant at first to give him a drink of water. That if she really knew who was before her, she would ask and he would give her a drink of living water that would become a well springing up to eternal life. By the time we reach the New Testament, water had taken on a role in the life of the everyday Jew that really isn't pictured for us in the Old Testament. In the original tabernacle, all we really hear about water was that laver just beyond the entrance into the tabernacle, that, if you will, big bowl of water which the priest would wash in before he began any of his rituals. But by the time of Christ, ritual washing had become part of the everyday life of Jews. You might recall, for instance, that the water that Jesus turned to wine at the wedding of Cana was from 6 stone jars that had been placed there for Jewish ritual washings. One of the confrontations that Jesus has with the Pharisees is because the disciples aren't ritually washing their hands according to not the scriptures, but the traditions of the elders. And when we come to the temple which Herod built, not the original tabernacle, not even the temple of Solomon, but the one that Jesus visits, ritual washing had become an integral part of entering into temple spaces, even if you weren't a priest. Pools had been built all around. Some of them are named in Scripture. The Pool of Shiloh, where the blind man is told to go and wash and have his sight restored. The Pool of Bethesda, where the paralyzed man goes into the water and he's enabled to walk. All Jews who wanted to come to the temple had to ritually wash. But you couldn't just wash in any kind of water either. It had to be living water. That's not just a term from the New Testament. It was a term that was active in the ancient world, in the Jewish rites. You see, not all water is equal. If you had standing water in a pool, that didn't cleanse you quite enough. If you had water that was just taken from a well, but it constantly had to be refreshed by some outward means, in other words, hauled to the well and dumped in, that wasn't good enough. Living water was from 2 sources. Either from a river where the water is flowing, or from a spring that was constantly putting forth water. And so when Herod had built the temple which Jesus visits, outside the temple and even within the temple, huge aqueducts were built carrying water from pools of springs, so that the water in the temple was not just any old water, it was living water. Our text for today in John chapter 7 is taking place at the Feast of Tabernacles, where water rites had become an integral part of the feast, not mentioned in the Old Testament, but nevertheless practiced at the time of Christ. Every day during the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would leave the temple. He'd go down to the pool of Shiloh. He'd walk around it three times. Traveling with him would be pilgrims who had come there, and Levites singing and dancing. In one account, even doing handsprings. And they would take a special silver pitcher and dip it into that water and carry it up to the altar of burnt offerings. And with great fanfare, they would pour it at the base of the altar along with a silver pitcher of wine. And there, at the base of the altar, was a pipe that would carry the water mixed with wine down through channels that led to a place called the Kidron Valley, where the kings of Judah were buried and where there were gardens, one of which being a garden Jesus visited. On the last day, the priest didn't just walk three times around that pool of Shiloh. He'd parade around it seven times, and great trumpet blasts would sound, and he'd take up the water, the living water that was there to carry up to the temple. And it's on that last day that Jesus stands up and says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." With great boldness, on the greatest day of gathering water, Jesus announces to the crowds the water they so desperately seek that gives life. It's not just water from a pool constructed by the hands of men, but it's the water that comes from Him. That rock described in 1 Corinthians 10, which had followed and sustained the people of Israel, and now would give life to the world. More than any other gospel, John talks about water about four times as much as any other gospel. But there's two other significant mentions of water that we haven't talked about yet. On the day of his crucifixion, Jesus, according to the Gospel of John alone, cries out as he is dying on the cross, "I thirst." That water, which gives life to the world, on the cross totally empties himself for our redemption. These cleansing waters of baptism by which God washes away our sins would not exist had He who was the source of living water not poured Himself out on the cross. And there is one more mention of water in the Gospel of John. As I think you all know, the crucifixion of Jesus occurs at the time of Passover. I had mentioned that at the altar of burnt offering, there was some pipes leading out to the Valley of Kidron. During the Feast of Tabernacles, that's where they'd pour them water mixed with wine, but there was another usage at Passover for those pipes. At the time of Christ, the Passover celebration had become really a temple celebration. You couldn't just kill a lamb any old place and eat it in your household. You had to go to the temple and have your lamb killed there. We know from sources outside of Scripture that on the day of Passover, well over 200,000 lambs were sacrificed at the temple. And there were some rituals that you might recall about the Passover lamb recorded in Exodus chapter 12, if you want to research it later on. One of the things about the lamb that was sacrificed is that no bone of it was to be broken. Can you imagine how much blood had to be there at the altar? 200,000 plus lambs, and all killed within about a 6-hour period. That's a lot of blood. And to keep the area, if you will, clean, they would take water from those pools that were constructed, living water. And they would, if you will, wash the blood down and will go down into those pipes underneath the temple and out to the Valley of Kidron. And if you stood at the Valley of Kidron on that day, what you would see would be a constant stream of blood and water from lambs coming out of that pipe all day. I take you now, and if you could take out your Bibles, turn in them to page 1160, John chapter 19. And we begin reading at verse 31. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again another Scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the source of living water, which he pours out completely in death, so that through these waters of baptism, we might have life. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.